So when we did the physical movement, and it wasn't a lot, but what the intention was is to just get a tiny bit of movement of the body and to track it in the somatic experience of it, to bring attention, awareness, consciousness to exactly what we were doing when we were doing it. And you may have noticed that helped you to, when we sat in silence, to be a little bit more embodied or present. Maybe that worked for you, maybe it didn't. But the intention was to illustrate and allow you to have your own experience of what being in the body, different ways to bring ourselves into the body, what the fruits of that can be. So there's no rule book that I know of, maybe one of you does, that says you can't move your body, you have to come and sit down cold. You can't stretch. You can't do any breathing practices. Just sit down, close your eyes. And be perfectly in the present moment. Although we think that rule book exists somewhere, some tome hidden somewhere that some ancient sage said, oh, has to be done this way. Well, I'm just enough of a contrarian to say, really? Does it? No, not necessarily. Marcel Proust says, the true voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes. So, all of these skillful means, these tools, these practices are around. And the ways in which we use them, the sequence in which we do them, is completely up to us. What do we need to support ourselves right now? And especially when we're working with something like anxiety, we need some help. We need support. That's why you're here, yeah? So this up until now, we've experimented. That's how I like to look at all practice, is an experiment. We try it on and we see how it directly relates to what is happening now. How it might shift what comes later. We try it on for ourselves and we recognize the results. Or we're also recognizing the process as it's happening. Because, being in the body, like I've said a number of times, might take a while. I remember an exact moment. That it was almost, and I don't know if it had never happened before, but it certainly hadn't ever happened with this amount of clarity. I was at my teacher, my main teacher is Ajahn Amaro, and he used to be the co-abbot of a monastery in Northern California called Bayagiri. And I met him, he was the very first teacher that I ever had at IMS, and then I glommed onto him and I didn't let go. I just loved how he said things. I loved his smile. I loved his mind and articulation and heart. He's an incredibly amazing human being. Really lives the practice in a way that I think is just magnificent. He was then tapped to take over one of the largest monasteries in the West that's called Amaravati, and that's in right outside of London. And so, I thought I was going to kind of retire my way up, first out to California from New York, being a New Yorker for my whole life, really. Jump over to California, try it out, be a New Yorker living in California. Try that out. And then eventually move my way up the mountain, because I'm in Berkeley, in the Bay Area, up the mountain to Bayagiri, which is about 2.5 hours north of where I am living. And then slowly, slowly, you know, because I've spent a tremendous amount of time in monasteries, slowly, slowly live up there near the monks. And, you know, I don't know, pictured myself doing that. And then he got tapped to go to London. I was like, God damn. So I spend a lot of time in London now in that monastery. Don't picture myself retiring over there, but I don't picture myself retiring anyway. But it was in a moment in that monastery where they have these, you know, it's in England, and there are these huge pastures where people have been doing walking meditation, monks and lay people, nuns and lay people, for many, many, many years. This is one of the first Theravadin monasteries over there, started by Ajahn Sumedho. And there, Ajahn Amaro and Ajahn Sumedho are in the Insight Vipassana lineage, of which New York Insight is of the same flower bed, let's say, garden bed. And so these paths that are in the pasture, there's a tiny stupa, not tiny, but a small stupa, and then this beautiful pasture, and there are all these little paths that have been so worn down by feet, many thousands of feet, just walking from one side of a little trail to another little path. You know, they're not very long. They're about 15, 20 paces. And they're all around. And I, you know, had walked them many times back and forth during retreat. And it was a kind of a chilly day, and had my hands in my pockets. And all of a sudden, I had this incredible experience of my head being attached to my body and my mind and body in the exact same place, rhythm, and time, perfectly, cohesively, one. And I remember it struck me. Now, here I'd been practicing yoga for probably 30 years by then. And I'd been practicing, well, maybe on 100 retreats by then, silent retreats. And I had done walking meditation for many, many years. Now, don't let that scare you. It just took me a long time. But that feeling of my mind and heart and body being in sync was so blissful that I just stopped for a moment. And it radically, it stayed with me. I don't always have it, but it stayed with me as this incredible experience of what is possible. And then I continued walking, and I just felt that integration, that cohesion, that wholeness, that embodiment, that being present, fully present and aware of exactly what I was doing as I was doing it could be. The peace and the ease that came with that. The recognition of awareness that was just beyond, you know. And we've all had little moments like that, whether it's in the body or in the mind or in the heart, or, you know, it could be having a cup of tea. It could be looking into someone's eyes. It could be doing anything, really. Playing music, making art. Lots of different ways we can have that kind of experience. We want to remember those, because that's how we find our way home, is that this like becomes our compass. And so when we find our way into the body, whether it be for a moment or two, really recognize that. It's like when you feel love, really feel love. When you feel happy, really feel happy. Feel all the feelings that you can, especially the ones that feel a little more pleasant, because we have this negativity bias that I'm sure you all heard of. That means that everything that's not so pleasant gets stuck. And we remember it for so long. I mean, ad nauseum long. You know, one sentence over and over again for as long as we've been alive. So we want to be able to turn the mind towards the pleasant when we have those moments. We want to remember what it feels like to be in the body. We want to remember that, oh, if I just do a little bit of twist, or I track the sensations in folding forward at my desk and then sitting back up, or standing and going through a little bit of a body scan and then sitting. I want to remember that that's possible and I can do that. I remember what that gave me. It hopefully brings you home to right now. And so those are really important moments to remember and recognize and embrace and own. Really important, because they're ours, they're yours, they're mine, they're ours, they're all of ours. Yeah. So we did a little of the movement practice, and then we sat for 20 minutes. That might have felt differently. And it really, again, it's just like what Marcel Proust says, it's about having new eyes, because this is, you know, I mean, the landscape is always changing. The body's changing from one moment to the next, and the older you get, the more you notice that. But everything's changing from one moment to the next. And the more we awake we are, we notice that, no matter what our age is. And so we want to be able to open our eyes again, metaphorically open our eyes, to see what is now, to have the eyes be fresh as much as possible when we can. Because then we remember that we're safe, that we're here. We're not in the imagined future, which is a lot of what anxiety is, yeah? That whatever we imagine might be happening isn't now. And we return for a moment, wherever in the body we can drop in, or wherever we can turn the mind to something that, as the sutta said, more beautiful. Because there is always goodness and always beauty and always something that's pleasant that we can find in any moment. And we remind ourselves, we remember, we let go, and we start again. So doing all the things that we've done so far today are resonating in your body, your heart, and your mind, your awareness right now. However it is. And it will continue if you pay attention. You can sense the resonance of what we've just done this morning when you go out on the street. And that's a rubber hits the road practice. I think that's really interesting. So if you can, you know, maintain softness in your eyes. You're still going to be able to see cars and other people. You won't run into anyone. If you want to, you can play around with putting a little bit of a smile on your face. I used to use this as an experiment when I would walk my dog downtown. I would get my mind caught on something unpleasant on purpose. I did this on purpose just to see. And I'd walk a couple of blocks and I'd look at people and they'd look back at me and there'd be some sort of tone or, you know, facial expression. And then I would shift and I'd walk the dog, and the next two or three blocks, I'd put a sparkle smile in my eyes and a little bit of a smile in my face. And I swear to you, every single time, and I did this for as many years as I had a dog in New York, which was like 8, people would look at me differently. They reacted differently. So play with these kinds of things of being in the body, opening the heart, hiding the heart, opening the eyes, hiding the eyes, smiling, frowning, you know, just play around and see how things are affected. But you're going to be walking out into the street carrying with you what you just did. It won't go away, but be aware of it. Be aware of it as you have your lunch and you negotiate the streets and cars and everything else that New York has to offer, which is a lot. And so then we will meet back here in an hour, let's say 1:20, just to round it off a little. Okay? So enjoy your meal, and I look forward to experimenting a little more with you.